Sipandavam. Yena Bhutanya Sheshami Drukshasyat Manyato Mai. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Purport, by His Divine Grace, Srivatavedanta Swami Prabhupada. The result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So that means that there's not many gods. It's not that there's a Hindu god, a Christian god, a Muslim god. No, there's one God. And that supreme being, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the father of all living entities. Aham Bija Pratapita. All the living entities are his parts and parcels. Amai Bhangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Whether they are aware of it or not, but that's the fact. Therefore, he's the only one that can be completely neutral. He's neutral. He's not biased because everyone's his son. Everyone is his part and parcel. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshyosti na priyaham. But still, yeva janti tamam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. He wants that all of his parts and parcels should engage in worshipping him. He wants that all of the living entities should be happy by engaging in his devotional service. And he knows that that's the only way that they can be happy. They can't be happy without him. It's not possible. Has to be connected to the Supreme, and he is the Supreme, and he is the enjoyer. He's the Parampurusha. We'll continue in the purport. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. Ma, not ya, this. Maya, not this. Some think that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that Krishna is only a great historical personality, and that the Absolute is the impersonal Brahman. Factually, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, this impersonal Brahman is the personal effulgence of Krishna. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of everything. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Even the millions of incarnations are only his different expansions. Similarly, the living entities are also expansions of Krishna. Mayavadi philosophers wrongly think that Krishna loses his own separate existence in his many expansions. This thought is material in nature. We have experience in the material world that a thing, when fragmentally distributed, loses its own original identity. But the Mayavadi philosophers fail to understand that absolute means that 1 plus 1 is equal to 1, and that 1 minus 1 is also equal to 1. This is the case in the absolute world. That means that Krishna is 1, and when Krishna expands himself, then still he remains one. So 1 minus 1 is still 1. And all the living entities are also expansions, or parts and parcels. So if you take, say, we're a little fragment, so 1,000th away from One, you'd think you would have 0.999 or something, but no, you still have one because there's no diminution because he's absolute. He's not material. And 1 + 1 = 1 in spiritual, in these mathematics, because although you have Krishna in your heart and Krishna in my heart and Krishna in Vrindavan, 1 + 1 + 1 should equal 3, but it's 1 because it's still the same Krishna. 1 + 1. And someone may say, well, this isn't real mathematics, because if it were real mathematics, it would be 3. But it's spiritual mathematics. That's the real mathematics. And our material mathematics cannot comprehend spiritual things. Spiritual things are not available to material faculties. By using the material science of archaeology, for example, you cannot prove or disprove the existence of Krishna. By using microbiology, you cannot prove or disprove the existence of Krishna. By astronomy, you cannot prove that there is Goloka or there is not Goloka, because neither way will you be able to enter. It is a completely spiritual science. This chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. It means it's beyond the material realm. And the only way to reach it is through, as Krishna just said in the previous verse, is that one has to approach a self-realized soul who's in the line of the cyclic succession, who's coming through that line, who has received that knowledge from the transcendental source. It cannot be received, for example, through a mundane scholar, because a mundane scholar has no access. That's why scholars who try to understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam become completely frustrated, because it doesn't make any sense materially. How can it make any sense? Krishna is saying that he's speaking as if he's God. He's saying that if you have knowledge of me, then you'll never fall again. Speaking as if he's the supreme person, the supreme controller. If you don't accept that, then the Bhagavad Gita has no meaning. It's just a joke. Like, just imagine this, someone speaking like this, and he's not God. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall into such illusion, for by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, they're mine. If someone wasn't God and was saying that, it would be ludicrous. How can you say that? He's saying everyone is part of him. So you have to accept, in reading Bhagavad Gita, if you approach simply from a scholarship point of view, well, you won't be able to understand anything. You have to at least theoretically accept that the speaker is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Almighty, controller of everything. Otherwise it has no meaning. And that's how Arjuna accepted it. Arjuna accepted Krishna's, he said, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam, Bibhum, Ahustva, Rishaya, Sarve, Devar, Shir, Naradastata, Asito, Devalo, Vyasa, Svayam, Chaiva, Bhavishime. He said, you are the Supreme Brahman, you know, the Supreme Spirit, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, the ultimate abode, Pavitram, the purest, Adidevam Ajambhubhum, you're the source of the demigods, you're unborn, you're the supreme enjoyer, everything. You're God. I accept it. And not only do I accept it because I'm your friend, but Asita says it, Devala says it, Vyasadeva says it, Narada says it, now you yourself are saying it. That's the way to understand Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not a treatise for the entertainment of armchair philosophers. Well, let's give it. What do you think this means? Sir, and then the others mentioned. Well, what could be meant here is that the five senses, the five pandavas represent the five senses, and Krishna represents the mind. So that's one speculation. Someone else says, no, I disagree. I think that Kurukshetra refers to the body, and he gives his interpretation. Someone else says, well, Krishna is just an ordinary person, fictitious person. Someone says he's real, someone says... This type of interpretation of Bhagavad Gita will not work. One has to accept the Shastras or the scriptures as they are, without any interpretation, without trying to add anything. In other words, if Krishna says that he's the Supreme Personality of God, that's what Bhagavad Gita says, well, then you have to accept that. You can't add your own interpretation like the philosophers like to do. Philosophers have a difficult time simply accepting the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be understood as I am, not by any other process. That's why we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we practice Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means devotional service to Krishna. We also study. It's not that we are not interested in jnana or knowledge. We have many books. And we study them very scrutinizingly. But we don't speculate. We accept whatever's there. We don't read in between the lines. The impersonalist speculators, whenever they read something in the Shastras, they say, yes, this is what it says, but the real important thing is what isn't stated. They're more interested in what's not stated than what's stated. Continuing in the purport. For want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we are now covered with illusion, and therefore we think that we are separate from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from Him. But what does that mean? Does that mean we're all Krishna? Does that mean that I'm Krishna and that you're Krishna? No. It means that we're parts and parcels of Krishna. And we're in quality one with Krishna. As Krishna is cognizant, we're cognizant. As Krishna is eternal, we're also eternal. As Krishna is blissful, we also have that quality of being blissful. Just like a drop of water from the ocean has the same characteristics as the whole ocean, but in a small degree. So that's what it means, that we're, although we're separated from Him, we're not different in quality. But still, then again, we are different because we are not the Supreme. For example, you can say a drop of water, it's the ocean, it's fair to say that, but it's not the whole ocean. It's only a little part. You can't bring a big ship in that little drop. So similarly, we cannot act as the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts, although we're His part of the person. Continuing. The bodily difference of the living entities is maya, or not actual fact. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship with his kinsman was more important than his eternal relationship or spiritual relationship with Krishna. Now that's a good point. By maya, we think that these temporary relationships that we have with our family, with our country, with our community, We think they're more important than our eternal relationship with Krishna. And we put them as priorities, but actually we shouldn't. The real priority should be our relationship with Krishna, because that's eternal. The other relationships are just temporary, and they don't really have any meaning. For example, in a river going downstream. So as the river goes down, sometimes there's some leaves and branches and twigs. And as they're going down, they come together. So now they're floating together down the river. Some leaves and branches and twigs. And now they've made a family. So now they think, ah, this is our family. Isn't this nice? We're going down together. What is that family? You just, by chance, you came together, and for a short time, and then as soon as they hit a rock, oh, then they cry. Oh, now we're separated. I lost my twig. But that's like our so-called relationships in this material world. Just for a short time they come together, and we're taking them as all in all, forgetting our real relationship, our eternal relationship with Krishna. So this, we have to see through the Maya. Maya, the fog, is blocking our vision. We cannot see. But Krishna consciousness, it allows us to burn through the fog and see the reality that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That is my constitutional position. I'm not American. I'm not Finnish. I'm not Indian. I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm not woman. I'm not man. These are all illusions. They all relate to the body. What is this body? This body is just a bunch of matter. And for a short time, I'm driving around in this material body, and I think that it's myself. Well, that's how we become bewildered by Maya. And under that illusion, we do so many things. We make so many arrangements to try to enjoy. If I think I'm a man, then I have to find a woman, and then I have to do so many activities for that, in order for that relationship. And if I'm a man, then I have to serve in the army. I have to fight for my country because I was born, or my body was born. So by associating with materialistic persons, we are almost forced into thinking like that. It's very difficult to be a spiritual person with spiritual vision in this environment, because everybody is thinking we're the body and they're relating to us like that. But it is possible, and that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that you have to live in this world and perform your duty, but don't be attached and don't be under illusion. You can perform your duty just as a matter of activity. Everyone has to work, Krishna says. But don't think that you are this body, and don't think that you're actually the cause of your own activities. You're being forced to act by the modes of material nature. At least the body is being forced to act. And the soul should be always absorbed in serving Krishna. So in that way, even if one has a particular occupation, that occupation should be dedicated or offered to Krishna. Krishna should be worshipped by that occupation. For example, Arjuna was a warrior. That was his occupation. He was trained. So he was thinking that it would be better to not use my occupation because it's a very horrible one, killing. But Krishna said, no, there's a place you can use it. It's this battlefield of Kurukshetra. There's a group of very evil persons, and you can defeat them. So in that way, he was able to utilize his fighting ability. Similarly, we can use our abilities, whether it's our ability to speak, or our ability to use our intelligence, or our wealth, or whatever other energy we may have, our life, our family, everything can be dedicated in the service of Krishna. And then the result is that we are free from the entanglement. We are not responsible for the reactions. Otherwise, everyone is responsible for their karmic reactions to every activity, either good or bad. If one performs a pious activity, say he digs a well for the people, okay, so that's good. Then he'll get a good result, but the result will still be material. He'll have to come back to the material world and receive the result. But that's not a good idea, because then he still has to remain in the material world. And if he performs some evil activity, say he killed someone, then he has to suffer also bad reactions for that in the material world. The recommended process is, don't engage in good or bad activities, engage in transcendental activities. In other words, everything under the direction of Krishna and his representatives. Then there's no reaction. One doesn't have to come back again to the material world. The point is, we're supposed to make this our last lifetime here. We're not supposed to plan to stay in the material world forever. Right? Everyone understand that? This is not... We're not supposed to try to stay here as long as possible and make plans for staying. No, because this is not our home. This is a place of suffering. An intelligent person, he's pessimistic about the material world. That pessimism is not... it's not because he's unable to be successful here. No, it's just that he's intelligent. He sees everyone loses here. Everyone is defeated. So if everyone is defeated and no one has ever lived through this thing we call life here, no one has made it through, then what makes me think I'm going to make it through? I'm also going to be devastated. But I don't want to die. I want to live. So how will I be able to live without going through this death penalty? And that we find from the scriptures, that you can live in the spiritual world eternally. And that is our home. How do I get back to home, back to Godhead? By practicing bhakti yoga, by practicing devotional service. It's very simple and sublime, and it's the original teaching. It's nothing new. It's been passed down from Krishna to Brahma to Narada since the beginning. So everyone should take this. It's not sectarian. How can Krishna be sectarian? God can't be sectarian. It's like saying the sun. Oh, this is the finished sun. Is it the finished sun? How many think this is the finished sun? No, it's not the finished sun. And it's not the Indian sun. And it's not the Mexican sun. It's... the sun is for everyone. Similarly, God is for everyone. Some, according to their realization, they may have different names for God. Some call God Brahman. Well, Brahman is the all-pervading light, or the white light. Okay, that's correct. And some will say, no, God is the super soul, the Holy Ghost in the heart. Okay, that's also correct. Some will say, no, God is, his name is Jehovah. He's the God of everyone. Okay, that's also true. But those who have the highest understanding of God, they call God Krishna. No, it's a fact. It's not sectarian. Why? Why do I say that? Because Krishna includes all the other realizations. If someone says God is Brahman, he's the energy, that's true, but it's not complete. Because he's more than that. If someone says God is the creator, that's true, but there's more than that. So in order to understand God in his complete feature, Krishna, because that is the complete feature of God. Now, You may not take my word for it, but we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have so many scriptures which go into elaborate detail how Krishna is the complete understanding of the personality of Godhead and his entirety. Any conception that there is of God is included in Krishna. But there's something more in understanding Krishna that no other conception includes. That Krishna is the original person, he plays a flute, he's very beautiful, he stands in threefold bending form. That information is not given anywhere else. How can you deny it? All the other information is given in the Shrima, in the Vedas, about God. Everyone else's conception. He's the creator, he's the maintainer, he's the father, he's the super soul, he's the energy. That's all there. But now, Bhagavatam says, but there's something more. He's the supreme person, Bhagavan. And that, the reason that others are not able to understand that is because it is very confidential knowledge. And it is passed down through disciplic succession. It's special. It's a fact. One may have a conception of God as the Father, as the Creator. That's good. But he may not understand who that Creator and who that Father is, exactly what he looks like. But that information is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, there are many different names of God, and they're all worthy of being chanted. But the name Krishna is especially potent. It's called Mukhya, or the chief name of God. So, chanting Hare Krishna is especially recommended for everyone. Are there any questions?
It is said in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna appears in this world in order to reestablish the principles of religion and karma. But then, on the other hand, he advises abandon all varieties of religion, abandon karma, and the surrender and mean. At the first thought, it looks kind of confusing. What does that mean?
It means that real dharma means to surrender to Krishna. That's what he came to establish. That all the other dharmas are subordinate. There's two types of swadharma. Swadharma means one's own duty. So there's swadharma according to the body that I have. I have to, if I'm a kshatriya or a vaishya or a shudra or a brahmana. This is one type of dharma. And there are duties that go along with that and responsibilities. But then, after explaining all that, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, but you can put aside all those and just do what I say. Just surrender to me. That's the highest dharma. The other dharmas are for very gradual, step-by-step elevation, and it takes a long time. But if one can understand and just put his full faith in Krishna, then that's the highest dharma. That's why Krishna says, sarva dharman parichaja. Put aside all these other dharmas, so-called duties. Like, for example, I'll give an example. Well, we all use the stoplights, you know, red, green, yellow. And we drive according to those and we follow. But if on a particular day a policeman is there and he's with his whistle and he's waving traffic this way and that way, and you're sitting in your car and he's saying, come on, come on. And you're saying, no, it's red, it's red. You're pointing it there. The light's red. And he's saying, come on, come on. He said, no, it's red. So he comes over and says, what's the problem? I'm telling you to come. He said, no, it's red. The light's red. I said, I know it's red. They're not working properly. I was sent out here by the chief of police to organize traffic. I know it's red. I have my badge, I'm authorized, I have a whistle, now please come on. I'm directing all the traffic, please just come. No, that's right. So, yeah, it's good to follow those in ordinary circumstances. But if Krishna personally comes and tells you, now, come on, do this, and you can't say, no, but it says in the scriptures. You know, but I'm a Brahmin and I'm a Kshatriya. No, these are okay in ordinary times. But if one can understand Krishna personally, he's the one who made all the scriptures. He's the compiler of all the Vedas. He's the goal of all the Vedas. He's the knower of all the Vedas. So to doubt him personally means we don't really understand the Vedas. If one studies the Vedas but doesn't come to the conclusion to surrender to Krishna, then he missed the point. It's like someone who reads the whole Ramayana. He read through the whole Ramayana and he said, I only have one question. You know what his question was? His question was, whose father is Sita? I understand everything else about Ramayana. I understand everything, but there's one thing I don't understand. Whose father is Sita? Means he didn't understand anything. He missed everything. He didn't even know who Sita was. So how could he understand Ramayana? You understand the point? No, because you don't know. Okay, for those of you who don't understand Ramayana, Sita is the wife of Lord Ramachandra. And she was kidnapped by Ravana. And the whole story of Ramayana is how Ravana fights with Ravana to bring back his wife, Sita. So that's the whole point of Ramayana. Now if someone reads the whole thing and says, there's only one thing I don't understand. He thought that Sita was someone's father. The only thing he misunderstood. Whose father was Sita? Understand my point? It's absurd. So, if you read Bhagavad Gita, if you read the Vedas, and you don't come to the conclusion that I have to surrender to Krishna, then you miss the whole point. There is no other point. There's nothing else to realize. And if you realize that on the first day, well then you realize all the Vedas. You've got the highest realization. And that is a wonderful thing. And that can be realized very quickly. It doesn't have to take. If one is a speculator and he doesn't engage in bhakti yoga, then bahunam janmanamante gyanavam maam prapajate. Then it takes many, many births and deaths. But if one surrenders to Krishna through bhakti yoga, he can immediately realize that. Doesn't have to take very long. 1 second. That's all we have to do is just accept Krishna's words. As it is, at face value, without, I'll take a little bit from Krishna, a little bit from Uspensky, a little bit from this one, a little bit from that one, a little bit from Freud, and I'll mix it all in, and I'll add my own. No, that's not the way to understand. Have to accept directly. That's what Krishna is asking here. That's what Arjuna is. That's what the whole dialogue is about. Putting aside all other conceptions and just accepting instructions coming from Krishna. Now, this is not blind following. How can it be blind following if Krishna is the source of all light? He says, I'm the source of the sun, I'm the light. Shashi Shurya, Pranava Sarva Veda Chu Shabde Ke Purusham Nishu, Rasoham Mapsukonte Prabhashmi Shashi Shurya. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. How can it be blind following? Then it means that what he's saying is incorrect. Then it's not true. And if it's not true, then why follow it at all? And if it is true, and you have to accept it, what he says, then it's not blind following. If he's the source of all knowledge and I'm following him, how can I be in ignorance? How can I be blind? Any other questions?
activities, whatever we are doing is all directed by God and we don't have any control on that?
No. Not correct. You have your own free will. It doesn't mean that whatever you're doing is what God wants you to do.
Then how can I show that the God wanted to do me the same thing or not?
Because we hear what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. God is telling us what He wants us to do. He wants us to always think of Him, become His devotee, worship Him, offer everything to Him, offer our food to Him, work for Him. If we do that, then we're being directed by God. And if we don't do that, then we're being directed by our false ego. We're being directed by ignorance, by lust, by greed. When we're directed by lust and greed, it's not that that's what God wants us to do. He gives us free will so we can choose. But it's not that everything that happens is what God wants to happen. Of course, ultimately, yes, not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. But that doesn't mean He sanctions it.
Who decides the control line? What is good? What is bad?
God.
Taliban says that heading to USA is good.
Yeah, no. God. God decides. He's the ultimate judge of what is good and what is right and what is wrong. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that Duryodhana is not acting properly and Yudhishthira is proper. Because Yudhishthira was a devotee of the Lord. So, now, your question is a good one. How do we know what actually God wants? That is a good question. It is said in the Mahabharata. Mahabharata says, Tako pratishta shrutayo vibhinna Masabrashir yasyamatam nabhinnam. Arguments are inconclusive. You can't just say, well, this group is arguing very good logic, so that I'll accept that. Because there's always someone who will come with a better logic. So arguments are inconclusive. Then, shrutayo vibhinna. Well, different scriptures have different conclusions, so there may be contradictions there. My scripture says that I'm right. My scripture says you're wrong and I'm right. So you can't accept that. Shrutayo vibhinna. Nasabrashir yasimatam nabhinnam. And all the different philosophers, they always disagree. One philosopher must disagree with another. So you cannot, that's not conclusive. So dharma sitattva nihitam guhaya. The principles of dharma are within the heart of the pure devotee. Therefore, mahajano yena katasapanta. We have to follow the path of the pure, unadulterated devotees. That's why the pure devotees are so important. Without the pure devotee, the self-realized soul, in this verse, without the self-realized soul, there's no possibility of understanding what God wants. Because we'll just be bewildered by the different scriptures, by the different philosophies, and the different arguments. Therefore, the most important thing in our life is to find out a self-realized soul. The most, number one important thing. Tad vidhi panipate, pariprashnena seva. And when one is fortunate enough to find out such a self-realized soul, then he should surrender. Because that's Krishna's representative. Here's his chance to get perfect direction by Krishna through his representatives. You have a question?
No.
Anyone else?
Maharaj, is it so that we don't know our duties in this age? What is our duty to do in order to
That's why we read Bhagavad Gita. We read Bhagavad Gita to find out what our duty is. And what does Krishna say our duty is? We have no other duty but to surrender to Krishna. That is what we are meant for. That is our duty. That is called Sanatan Dharma. It's eternal Dharma. On the relative platform, I may say, well, my duty, I'm working for this this factory, so my duty is to put the, you know, thing in the twist and the thing. That's my duty. Okay. That's my factory duty. And for my country, I have to pay taxes, and I have to drive on the right side, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. Okay, those are your national duties. And for my family, I have to do this, and I have to do that. That's okay. But what is your eternal duty? To serve Krishna. So that's what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Sanatana Dharma.
Question, Maharaj. Here, Krishna is saying that by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. I understand this is relevant to Arjuna because he saw his, like you said in the lecture, he saw his social relationships and family relationships, but then Krishna says that they are actually the main relationship they have with me, they're mine. Is that just an example of what of the knowledge that you will realize by from the spiritual master, or is that actually a major part of your understanding?
You'll never fall again into illusion. Yes, when you receive this knowledge, you'll never be in illusion again. You'll understand that all living entities are parts and parcel of Krishna, and that you also are part and parcel of Krishna, and you'll always act in that capacity as servant of Krishna. So therefore you'll never fall into illusion. That's a very important thing. Self-realization without knowledge of Krishna is incomplete. And one will fall down from that. The impersonalists who rise up to the Brahma Jyoti, they have self-realization. But because they don't have a relationship with Krishna established, they fall down again. Therefore, it's important to understand the relationship with Krishna of all living entities. That's why it's important to chant Hare Krishna, to know Krishna, because without knowing Krishna, my relationship with God, the impersonal, I will not be able to maintain that position because it's not fully satisfying to the soul. Because I'm a person and I need personal relationships. I need to see things. I need to see beauty. But in the impersonal Brahman, there's no variety. It's just a kind of an existence stage. It's called Sat. I have Sat. I have eternality. But I don't have full knowledge and I don't have full bliss. So therefore, I won't be able to maintain that position forever.
The parts of living entities, which also is not part of Krishna?
No.
All is part.
Did you say, are there parts? Maybe speak again, I didn't quite.
You say that in all living entities there is part of Krishna.
All living entities are parts of Krishna.
Yes, are. Is as a whole. Like, there's no part in this entity which is not part of Krishna.
Yeah, everything material and spiritual come from him.
So Maya is also part.
Maya is also, yes, coming from Krishna. And Maya is his energy. Mama Maya Duratya. He said this is my energy that keeps everyone under illusion. Just like the government has the educational department, that's one of its divisions, and it also has the penal system, the prisons. The prisons are also the energy of the government. So for the government, there's no difference. They don't think, oh, the educational system is very nice, but the prison system is terrible. No, they think they're both nice. They have different purposes. The educational system is for those who are good citizens, and the penal system, the prison system, is for those who require punishment. The material world is for those who require punishment.
But I have experienced that the government punishes people for decisions for peace.
They make mistakes. Yeah, this in the material world, mistakes are made, but Krishna doesn't make mistakes. We may make mistakes.